Well, welcome back, brothers and sisters. We are looking forward to hearing Brother Paul Wren from the Sedgley Ecclesia speak to us on the next session entitled Principles of Creation Throughout the Word. So, without further ado, it's over to Brother Paul, please.
Well, thank you, Brother Nathan, and my dear brethren and sisters in the glorious hope of Israel. We've commenced our day and we have seen the evidence power of Yahweh's physical creation. But as the Apostle Paul attests that these things, he says, are the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things in Christ Jesus. And that's Paul writing in Ephesians in chapter 3. Brother Thomas writes a really interesting article, which I would commend to all of you, entitled God's Design in the Creation of the World. And it can be found in the volume of the book, Faith in the Last Days. And he writes this: God has caused a book to be written for our information upon his design, his ultimate purpose in the works of creation, providence, and redemption, which are the three grand divisions of his labour, and are all trending to the development of one great and glorious consummation. And thus, brethren and sisters, the principles of creation are centred in Yahweh's purpose with this earth, established in Christ, or as Paul puts it in Hebrews in chapter 1, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the ages, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the power of the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The perfected creation is in Christ, from the light that shined to the perfected man, shown in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this overarching principle is shown in one verse. If you just turn with me to the 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 4, and at verse 6 we read, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And what do we see in that verse, brethren and sisters? Well, we see the entirety of Yahweh's principle with creation. When Yahweh said, "Let there be light," it started both the physical and the allegorical creation that he wanted to create. It shone. And how does it shine in our hearts, brothers and sisters? Well, it is through the face of Jesus Christ. And what do we see? Well, we see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And here Paul quotes from Habakkuk chapter 2 with the overall principle that he will fill this earth with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh as the waters cover the sea. And it is in the beginning it starts. Elohim created. And this whole principle of this creative work comes forward in the words of our scripture. And this creative work appears primarily in the Old Testament. And the word created occurs 28 times. And we see this wonderful number, don't we, that talks about the perfection of Yahweh's covenant shown with the Israel of God. And all of this starts and ends with that Creator. If you just turn with me to Isaiah in chapter 41. prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 41. And we come in at verse 4. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, Yahweh, the first, and with the last, I am He. And as that should be rendered, I, Yahweh, the first, and with the last ones, I am He. And this picks up where Brother Roy was talking in Hebrews and chapter 11. Who hath wrought it? Who hath done it? Well, in that faith and that assurance that we have, it was Yahweh. And He was the first. And He will be with the last ones. He was with the first one. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. And He will be with the multitudinous Christ. He who was and is to come, as Revelation puts it. How wonderful these things. And as He declares in Isaiah chapter 43, I am Yahweh, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And what we find when we look at this idea of this creative work, we see that nearly half of the creative references are in the prophet Isaiah. The prophet of the King. And it displays and declares plainly His majesty, His mighty power and His purpose. If you just turn over a few pages to Isaiah chapter 45. And at verse 5, we read Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5, I am Yahweh, there is none else, there is no Elohim beside me, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know that from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none beside me, I am Yahweh, there is none else, I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I, Yahweh, do these things. Drop down the heavens from above. Let the skies pour out down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, Yahweh, have created it. Yahweh is in ultimate control. Creates, He forms light, and it's the idea to squeeze into shape. He creates darkness, He makes peace and creates evil. And just as an aside, we see this whole principle of Yahweh's use of things to bring about His purpose. And as Brother Thomas comments in Elpis Israel on that idea of creating evil, he says evil is the artillery which He combats the enemies of His law. Yahweh, there is none else. He is that creator. But His purpose with the creative work is through the provision of His Son. Turn back a few pages, still in Isaiah, to Isaiah chapter 42. And we see here, behold my servant in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 42. But we come down to verse 5. Thus saith El, Yahweh, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit of them that walk therein. I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. I will give thee a covenant of the people and a light for the Gentiles. And we come back to that first principle that we saw in Corinthians, that light that was given. And as Christ was given by the great Creator, He then spake again. And there was light given. And we see that in John's Gospel in chapter 1. And so the light was given. And this whole principle of Yahweh's creation is picked up in Revelation in chapter 4. For thou art worthy, O Yahweh, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. And this overall principle that we have, this confidence that he who is in charge of our sphere is almighty, and he is our loving Heavenly Father. It is in his purpose and in his pleasure to create man upon this globe that was free to stand and free to fall. And we have to understand our state, brothers and sisters. So come with me to the Psalms, and we want to go to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, and we're not going to look particularly at the specifics of Psalm 51, but we understand the context, as it says within the title, that this is David after he had gone into Bathsheba, and he confesses his sins. But we want to come down at verse 5, where we read, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And what we see here is that whole principle that man was shapen. Through the fall, he was shapen in iniquity, that death came upon all men, for in all have sinned. And despite the very good state, man fell. And now man was shapen. And that word there in the Hebrew is the idea to twist or to writhe in pain. Man, as he fell from his birth, is writhed, is twisted in the things of sin and death. And yet the psalm doesn't leave it there. As we read in verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me." The creation of that new heart is through the washing and the regeneration of the Word, through the work of our Saviour and our Master, he who was able to wash us and make us whiter than snow, as Revelation 7:14 puts it, and we wash, we launder our garments in his blood. Purge me with hyssop. And we have a reference straight back to Exodus in chapter 12 with the putting of the blood upon the doorposts. And we have this creation of a new heart. It is that which is done through the application of the Word, allowing ourselves to be moulded like with the potter, than our Maker. And it is through him. And Yahweh will hear. And as we would expect, we see this principle coming through into Isaiah in chapter 57. Because as Yahweh creates, he can also heal. And to Isaiah 57, and we want to come in at verse 17 for context. Isaiah 57 and verse 17. for the iniquity of his covetousness, I was wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. And that is man, as Brother Roy pointed out as we went at the end in Ecclesiastes. Verse 18, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith Yahweh, and I will heal him. For both Jew, those that are near, and Gentiles, those that are far off, Yahweh will lead, Yahweh will heal, Yahweh will comfort, but it is through the fruit of the lips. Well, let's go to Hebrews in chapter 13, because here, how wonderfully the apostle quotes here from Isaiah in chapter 57 and points the things that we must do. Having seen Jesus, having seen Christ go be out of the camp and bearing his reproach, in verse 14 we read, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, through Christ, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And it brings this order. It brings to us our realization that in the order of creation, there is an order to our worship. In the order of creation, there is an order of our lives. That as all creation sings to the praises of Yahweh, so we too, through the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice and praise of God, and that doing good and communicating not, that we may be a people zealous of good works. And this is how we create. And we have formed within us that new heart through the word, through our work in the truth. And yes, as the Apostle Paul points out, there is a battle constantly in our members. And yet we long for that time where that new heart will be giving us a clean heart that we may praise him throughout the ages of eternity. And it is the New Testament that picks up this idea of that creation of the new man. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, this time to chapter 5. Wherefore, henceforth, says the apostle, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, as the Greek should be. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it is fighting for that new man of the flesh. And we become the work of Yahweh. Come across to Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2 and at verse... Where should we start? Let's start in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should walk in them. And what a wonderful picture then the apostle paints. It's not our subject to go into them, to talk about those that were far off, that are now brought nigh through the blood of our Master. And when we understand that whole principle that we are shapen in iniquity, and yet we are the workmanship of Yahweh through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a privileged people we are. And Brother Nathan mentioned that in his remarks at the beginning. What a privileged people we are to understand these things. And we will encounter times of tribulation. We will encounter times of difficulty. We are not Yahweh's creation that are protected in a bubble. We will endure tribulation because as the principle comes out, it is through much tribulation, much pressure that we must enter into the kingdom of God. And we have the understanding as we look to the heavens, as the psalmist says in Psalm 97, the heavens declare Yahweh's righteousness, and all the people see his glory. But much more strength comes to us, doesn't it, from understanding the greatness of the Creator and our smallness. Come with me to Psalms, but this time to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, and we read in verse 1 of Psalm 8, verse 1, O Yahweh our Adon, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hath thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou didst visit to him? The psalmist looks to the heavens. And yes, there were enemies. Yes, there was the avenger. And we too have the enemy. That enemy that seeks whom he may devour. And yet we do not look to the earth, as Colossians say. We look to the heavens. We look to see the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And when we consider the heavens, both physical and in the spiritual, we see the work of Yahweh's fingers. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visited him. And that is a wonderful precept that comes out of this Psalm 8. We are in our smallness. And yet he visited the son of man. And that word visited in the Hebrew has the idea to elevate. Rotherham puts it like this, to set in charge. Who is the son of man that thou set him in charge? Well, it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul says in Hebrews chapter 2, we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, but crowned with glory. He who knew all points in which we are tested, and our tribulations, and our sorrows, and our difficulties, and he overcame. We consider the heavens then, so we lift up our heads. And as we read in Job, we stand still and we behold the wondrous works of Ael, and physically seeing his handiwork, it lifts us, oh brothers and sisters, doesn't it? But we also see his tender, loving care. Come with me to Isaiah in chapter 40. He who created all things cares for us. And we see it in Isaiah in chapter 40 and at verse 25. Where we read, to whom then will ye liken me? Or will I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, not one faileth. And we see this whole loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. He creates the heavens. He looks upon the host of their number. And not one is lacking in his part, as the Revised Version put it. The Lord Jesus Christ puts it like this, that one sparrow will not fall without our Heavenly Father knows it. And he careth for us. And those are the stars that we look at. We looked at their host. He knows the stars by name. Not one will fail without his command. But we must lift up our eyes on high. And what comes out of this is wonderful, isn't it? Because if you go back to Genesis in chapter 15... it's the foundation of our faith. It's the foundation of the Abrahamic covenant. How was righteousness imputed? Well, it was imputed following this in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 4. And behold, the word of Yahweh came unto him, to Abraham, saying, this man shall not be thine heir, but he that come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards the heaven, and tell the stars, if thou art able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in Yahweh, and he counted it him for righteousness. It is the only time it's used in Abraham's life that it was counted to him for righteousness. It was something he believed, as Brother Roy touched on in our first session. It wasn't about the scientific proof. It wasn't about whether it was scientifically possible. He believed Yahweh. And it was counted to him to demonstrate, to declare Yahweh's righteousness. It was those stars that we see in fulfillment in Daniel in chapter 12, where he turns those many to righteousness as the stars of the heaven. And they will be created in that kingdom age. These will be the glorified bride that will show forth the principles of the Creator in their hearts. They that have been and allowed the Maker to form clean hearts, shapen by Yahweh's hands. And yes, as we said, we will encounter difficulties. But we echo the words of the Apostle Paul. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Yahweh's principles of creation are the principles of his purpose. He created it not in vain. He created it for his glory. And what Isaiah has shown us is that out of those principles, we see the start and the finish. He who was and is working with us and will be. And he will be glorified in that earth, at the end of that millennial age, when the whole earth should be filled with his glory. But the ultimate principle and the purpose is a new creation. So come with me to Isaiah in chapter 65. Yes, man fell, and Yahweh put in place his plan to deal with the problem of sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of that was a creative work. But he wants to, and he will, create a new heavens and a new earth. And so we come in at verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 65. For, saith Yahweh, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and the people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall no more be hence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labour in vain, nor bring forth in trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of Yahweh and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith Yahweh. A new heavens, a new earth, with Jerusalem set as that pinnacle of rejoicing, and her people, the people of Jerusalem. Cast your minds to Hebrews in chapter 12, that allegory of Jerusalem, who is the mother of us all. And what a principle we have, as that gem in the middle of that crown of that kingdom age, a people whom Yahweh will bring forward to glorify his name. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And as Brother Thomas puts it in that article that we referenced earlier, this new dwelling place for the divine majesty is to consist of a sealess and and luminous globe, and peopled with myriads of glorious and honourable and incorruptible men of equal rank and station with the angelic host. What a wonderful vision we have set before us of the new creation. We have the physical earth before us to give us a glimpse of that wonder. But it is nothing to be compared with the glories that shall be revealed in us. Let us not lose sight of the prize of the high calling of God that is in Christ Jesus. But we have that warning. Come with me finally to 2 Peter in chapter 3. Here, Peter gives us words of exhortation and warning. 2 Peter in chapter 3. For we look for the new heavens and the new earth. But look at verse 8. Let us not scoff. Verse 8 of 2 Peter in chapter 3. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The day of Yahweh will come. There is no doubt about that. We see the angels working upon the chessboard of the world. And we see that they are ready. We see the signs heralding that our master is at the doors. These physical things that we see, this age in which we dwell, will dissolve with judgment of Yahweh. The things in which we physically see will no longer be here. There will be a beautified earth. Seeing then, verse 11, that all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be ye in all holy conversation, in our way of life and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. What manner of people should we be? Well, we should be a people that have a holy conversation, separate living. We should look for and haste unto. And as that is correctly put in the Revised Version, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day of God. It comes back to that whole principle of Hebrews in chapter 13. We have no abiding city. We do not care for the things of this life. We earnestly desire the new creation. So verse 13 continues, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And that takes us all the way back to Genesis in chapter 15. Abraham looked to the stars. He understood that Yahweh will do all things. And it was counted to him as the declaration of Yahweh's righteousness. And we look to the heavens, both physically, to see the wonder of the creation, and spiritually, as we look for that kingdom age. An age wherein dwelleth all those who will declare the righteousness of God.